Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
I want us to revisit this word we just read here in Ephesians 3:20. If we turn our attention back there once again, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able." Now unto him that is able. Can you just say, God is able? Amen. Now, unto him that is able, and the interesting part of this verse is that word able. It's actually the word, Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the English word dynamite. Now, how many know you can get some stuff done with some dynamite? Man, I had a beaver problem a long time ago. Somebody said, you need to get some dynamite. I said, well, what is this, Duck Dynasty? I mean, I ain't going to get no dynamite and blow somebody up. But you can get some stuff done with some dynamite. And so the English word dynamite is actually rooted in the Greek word dunamis, which is what this word able means. And what came to my mind when I was looking at that word and how many times it's used in Scripture was that when the disciples came back after having been sent out in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and they came back, and it was like they wanted to let Jesus know just how powerful his name was. Like he didn't know. They came back and they said, Lord, do you know even the devils are subject to us in your name? I mean, they were like, Jesus, you should have seen it. We used your name and nothing could prevail by the power of your name. And Jesus said, listen, in this you don't even have to rejoice. And this is found in Luke 10:19. He said, in this you don't even have to rejoice. You ain't even got to be excited about victory over the enemy. He said, I watched him fall like lightning from heaven. Don't rejoice in that you have power over the enemy. He said, rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you are born again. That's what it's all about. And that's what really matters. Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you died today, would heaven be your home? That's the most important thing. But when he sent the disciples out in Luke 10, he said these words. He said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That was the word that he declared, that he had given them power over all the power of the enemy in Luke 10:19. Well, that word power in Luke 10:19 is used twice. And when he says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, the two words there are exousia. If you're really a fierce note taker, I'll give you the word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. And that means jurisdiction. And then he said, over the power of the enemy. And that word power, the second time it's used, is the word dunamis, which it just literally means ability or power. Now, here in Ephesians 3:20, this word able is that same word power in Greek. So when you talk about the ability of God, you're talking about the power of God. Now unto him that is able, now unto him that has the power. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. See, you're saying the same thing when you say now unto him that is able, when you say now unto him that has the power. It's the same thing. His ability is his power, and his power is his ability. He has the power. Tell your neighbor that. He has the power. God has the power to do anything but fail. Amen. Now unto him that is able, him that has the power to do. But what is his power to do? What does he have the power to do? Here's the answer. He has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I told you last week to underline or circle the two words ask and think. Ask and think. So if you haven't done that in this part two of this message, do that right now. Underline or highlight the words ask or think. Ask or think. And so when you talk about asking, you're talking about the mouth. When you talk about thinking, you're talking about the mind. So God is saying here in his word that I'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. I'll go beyond your mouth and your mind. But what's so powerful to me about this verse, and one reason I love it so much, is that he is in essence saying that my thoughts and words are the platform of his performance. Now, before you get mad about that and call that a hyper-faith message, look at what he just said. He said in his word that he has the power and that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, that's the mouth, all that we think, that's the mind, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, with that in mind, put a bookmark here in Ephesians 3:20 and come with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. As a matter of fact, let me read that last statement before we go to Romans 16, because he said in verse 21, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory. So when he does exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think in my life, he is glorified. He is glorified. Let me give you the definition of the word glory based on scripture. And the scripture that I'll cite is Hebrews 1 and 3. Hebrews 1 and 3 teaches us that the glory of God is the expressed image of God. The expressed image of God. When God expresses, when he reveals, when he makes known who he is, when he makes known his love, when he makes known his power, when he makes known his wisdom, that is the glory of God. Now, one of my favorite verses that define the glory of God is John 1:1 and John 1:14. Put that in your notes, John 1:1 and John 1:14. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Come on, somebody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1 is this ministry's foundational verse. It is there that Jesus makes himself one with his Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh. The Word of God manifested. Jesus is the manifested Word of God. He's God's Word manifested. Everything that God prophesied and declared, Jesus manifested. He became and is the manifested Word of God. Two other verses that support that are an Old Testament verse, Psalms 40 and 7, that says that Jesus came in the volume of the book, that it's all written of him, and then that's recorded again in the New Testament in Hebrews 10 and 7, that Jesus came in the volume of the book. Jesus is the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Revelation 19, verse 13 tells us that's his name, that his name is the Word of God. But what's so beautiful about John 1:14 is that the Bible says the Word was made flesh and we beheld his glory. The Word was made flesh and we beheld his glory. What does that mean? That means when God manifests his Word, that's when he's glorified. When God manifests his Word, that's when he's glorified. God is glorified in the manifestation of his Word. And there was no greater manifestation of his Word than when Emmanuel, Jesus, was born in this earth. When Jesus was born in this earth and the Word was manifest, that was the glory of God in manifest form. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the expression of God. Jesus is his Word manifested. Now, how can God be glorified? How can God be glorified in my life? Is it just my praise and saying, praise the Lord, magnify Jesus, Lord, you are worthy? That's a part of it. But Jesus is glorified, the Father is glorified in my life when his Word manifests in my life. When his Word manifests in my life. Now, I didn't make that up. I'm not that smart. John 15, Jesus explains in John 15 how the Father is glorified. And he tells us in John 15, verses 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8 of John 15. I know you're in Romans 16. We're multitasking. But Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you. Come on. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. He said, if you abide in me, I'm in Jesus, and if my word abide in you, you're living by the word of God, you're speaking the word, you're thinking the word, you're doing what Psalms 19:14 says. You're allowing the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart to be acceptable in his sight. You are living by faith. You are living by his word. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. And then he said this, herein is my Father glorified. Herein, or in this, is my Father glorified. When is the Father glorified? When his word manifests in my life. When his word manifests in my life, he's glorified. For the 37 that were baptized tonight, you heard the word. And I don't know what specific word you heard or where you heard it or what the Holy Spirit moved in you to do, but you responded to what the word tells believers to do, and that is to follow Jesus in baptism. And so when you went down in that water and you came back out, you did exactly what Jesus asked his followers to do. His word was manifested in you, and through the 37 that were baptized tonight, God is glorified and has been glorified in you tonight. Amen. Can we shout about that? Why? Because his word was manifested. What he said was done. When God's word manifests, that's when he's glorified. So we need to understand what the glory of God is and let his glory be our motive for our prayers, for our life, for our discipline in his word. Everything we do, we got to get rid of our own personal agenda. And I don't know what's going on in today's society, whether it's social media or what, but everybody just seems to be overwhelmed with their own agenda. We got to lay our agenda down and say, Lord, what do you want? Your will be done in me. I said this Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. Christianity is less about what we're chasing after and more about what we're willing to leave behind. And the number one thing we got to leave behind if we want the Lord to be glorified in our life, we got to leave our flesh behind. The Bible says no flesh should glory in his presence, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If we want to see God glorified, and that is our ultimate purpose, 1 Corinthians 6:20, you know, we were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We're called, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, the Bible says to glorify God. So if we want our lives to bring him glory, we've got to know what that means, because it's more than Jesus written on a t-shirt. That's a part of it. We want to get his name out there, but we have to know what the glory of God is. The glory of God is when his word manifests in my life. We ought to want people to look in our life and see his word manifest. Amen. 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 So with that in mind, Romans 16, that was a long setup. It took a little longer than I thought it would. But go with me to Romans 16, and we're going to look down at verse number 25. Now, what Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him, ooh, it's going to be good. Now unto him, oh, hallelujah. Now unto him, not unto me, but unto him. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus, world without end. So when you look at Ephesians 3:20, it's easy to hone in on my thoughts and my words being the platform of what he's moving on in my life. And we dealt with the importance of what we think on and getting our minds right last week and what we're saying. We dealt with a lot of that last week. We may deal with that more again in the service, but we dealt with that a lot last week. You can go back and stream the message on YouTube. We have to know the motive, though. The motive behind Ephesians 3:20 and getting my thoughts right and getting my words right and seeing God do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, the motive is that he be glorified. The motive is that he be glorified. And what would happen if we just said, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. I just want to see you glorified in my life, because that is the purpose. And if you miss that, you miss it all. And so watch this in Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power. Read that part out loud, Shreveport and our Bossier campus. Ready? Read. Now to him that is of power. Now that word power is the same Greek word as able in Ephesians 3:20. The Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able, same word, dunamis, same word, now to him that is of power. Romans 16:25 could read, now to him that is able. It's the same word in the Greek. Now to him that is of power, or now unto him that is able, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. For those that think that God doesn't give revelation today, he gives revelation. When the scripture opens up to you and Jesus is made known to you, that's a revelation. A revelation isn't something new showed up. A revelation is that I'm seeing something that's always been there. I just didn't know it was there. I could have a table in here right now with a big cloth over it, and you could see stuff was in it, but you didn't know what was under the cloth. And it'd been here the whole service. At the end of the service, I could take the cloth and move it off the table, and you could see what was there. And you say, oh, and it'd been there the whole time. We would have just seen it. All a revelation is a disclosing of what was already there. It's an unveiling of what was there. And God has got everything I need. I just need a revelation of it. It's always been there. It's been there with him. I just need a revelation. His word has everything I need. I just need a revelation of it. So revelation is a reality. And I've had people for years argue me, why you preach revelation? Nah, I'm revelation. Calm down. Revelation is in the word. God ended his word with a whole book called Revelation. Amen. All revelation means that God is opening up something that's been there. As a matter of fact, that's what he's going on to say. Watch this. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but is now what? Now is made what? Manifest. How is this revelation of Jesus made manifest? How is this made manifest? He says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, all ethnic groups, for the obedience of faith. God is saying, if you want a manifestation of who I am, if you want a revelation of who I am, it comes through the scriptures. It comes through the prophets. It comes through the commandment of the everlasting God. What is he saying? He's saying it comes through my word. You know, we don't need anything beyond this. We want all kind of stuff, but we don't need anything beyond this. This word is all you need. I remember being in a sociology class in college, and the question was asked, if you were put on a desert island, what would you want with you? And different people, you know, were called on to give an answer what they wanted. And there was this girl across the room, and she stood, and she said, number one, I want my Bible. And you can hear the smirks across the room. And I was like, hey, that girl got it right. And you might say, a Bible? What do you need? What are you going to do with a Bible? What am I going to do on a desert island? I want his word. His word has everything I need. I need faith if I'm on a desert island. Amen. Now, I forgot how many things you could bring, but she said, number one, I said, hey, that's a believer right there. I got a conviction. I was like, man, I don't know what my number one was, but I got to put the Bible at the beginning. Yeah, well, me too, boy, she said. I need God's word. God's word is everything I need. I don't know why we get in this mindset that we got to add all these things to the word. You don't need, if we could be out in a field under a tent, no nice lights, nothing, and have his word and have everything we need. All we need is his word. God can move in my life through his word. I thank God for air conditioning and comfortable seats and all this wonderful things that we have to give us a great atmosphere of worship and preaching. But at the end of the day, all I need is the word of God. I thank God for our children's program and our youth program and all our programs, but all we need is the word of God. That is foundational, and it's everything we need is God's word. If we start looking for something other than his word, we're looking the wrong way. So he says, but this revelation in verse 26 now is made manifest, and it's by the scriptures, which is his word. You don't need a sermon that's not word-based. Amen. It wouldn't matter what I got up here, how many points I gave you. If it wasn't word, what's it going to do? You don't. My intellect can't help nobody. Verse 27, to God only wise. See, watch how this is going to close out. To God only wise, read the rest with me, Shreveport Bossier, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Notice how the power of God, the revelation of Jesus through his word, and the glory of God are all paired together in these verses. That is consistent, that when God opens up his word to me and I begin to live by his word manifest in my life through the person of Jesus Christ, that's when he's glorified. God is not glorified until his word manifests in my life. That's why I can't be changing the word. We can't be changing the word based on what society is saying and what society is doing. No, God wants to be glorified in every age. Hallelujah. And that's what Ephesians 3:21 went on to say. Now notice he declares here in verse 26 that he makes known his word. He makes known Jesus. He manifests the scriptures. He makes us known for the obedience of faith. And that word throughout the New Testament, obedience, is translated belief. So God wants me to live by faith. That's how he wants me to live. So turn back a few chapters to Romans 10. If you're taking notes, write this down. God wants me to live by faith. God wants you to take him at his word. That's faith. Hey! God wants you to take him at his word. God wants you to take him at his word. God wants you to stand on his word. Now, anybody can believe anything different and read the Bible. I'm thinking about the Roman centurion that had a servant in his house that was at the point of death. And that Roman centurion came to Jesus. And he sent word. He said, listen, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But I am a man of authority. I am a man of power. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. He's a centurion. That word sent, centurion, sent means he was over at least 100 men. And so he was saying, I understand what it's like to have people under my authority. And when I say something, they move on my word. He said, I don't need you to come under my roof. I just need you to say it in a word. Say it in a word. Say it in a word. And I know my servant will be healed. When they brought that to Jesus, Jesus said this back. He said, this is the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. This is the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. And the Bible says the man's servant was healed that very hour. Jesus did not go to the man's house. Jesus did not go have a conversation with the man. The man had the faith that if Jesus said it, it would be done. If Jesus said it, it would be done. Jesus applauded that faith. He said, that's the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. So how much more would God be honored if we would just take him at his word? Just take him at his word. Just choose to live by what he said. Take him at his word. That's faith. Amen. And Hebrews 11:6 says, he that comes to God, number one, must believe that he is God, and number two, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants me to seek him for my mental need, seek him for my spiritual empowerment, seek him for my physical well-being, seek him for my future, my faith, my family, my finances, every aspect of my life, to make him the source of my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. God's not called me to chase after things. He's called me to chase after him. He's my source. He's my provision. He's my way maker. He's my deliverer. He is my guide. He is my way. I have no way but him. He's everything. And to make him that foundational aspect of your not only words, but your thoughts. He is the foundation that my thoughts derive from. He is the foundation from which my words come. Hey, glory to God. That's got to be intentional. That doesn't just happen in somebody's life. to keep myself in check to what he said. Watch this in Romans chapter 10. When you get over there, just say amen. I did say Romans 10, right? All right, watch this. And we'll look at it in verse number 8. But what saith it? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Two things I want you to underline or circle here. Two statements. Here we go. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Do you see that? Shreveport Bossier, up to that word heart. Let's read it out loud. Ready? Read. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. God not only wants his word on my mouth, he wants it in my heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. God wants his word in my heart, and he wants his word on my mouth. I've had people mess with me through the years, especially in the early days. They couldn't see nothing. They were seasick. And so I'm talking word. And I remember this one lady, man, she wore me out. She said, the word. Oh, you talking about the word. Well, I used to just, you know, folk, you know, the enemy will send folk. You know he will. I'm convinced that the messenger of Satan that Paul prayed to the Lord, we had to have been a person. Man, I'm just convinced. It may have been a group of people. Because, man, folk can hit you at the worst time with the worst mess, and you're like, ain't nobody but the enemy told you to send me that right now with what I got going on. Am I the only one? Man, it can seem like at the worst time I get the craziest text. I'm like, if you knew what I was dealing with right now, you'd have prayed about sending me this mess. Am I the only one? Raise your hand if that's you. See, I look around the room. That's everybody. Man, can I let y'all in on something? I have been in the bed since you last saw me. I've been in the bed hurt sick since you last saw me Sunday morning. I went home, went to bed. I've literally been in the bed. My kids are on the front row. Tell you the truth. I got up to come here tonight and didn't think I could do it. So that's the week I've had. It's the longest I've been upright since Sunday. But ain't it good? Because, man, I was concerned in the flesh about how we were going to baptize tonight, and I had to come up with my plan B and plan C, and I was literally getting ready about 5:30, getting ready, and I just felt something come over me. I said, man, I feel good, come on. But if you had seen me 2 hours ago, you'd say, man, Pastor Jane, you sure you don't want to stay home tonight? But the Lord is good. He's faithful to his word. Amen. So, but, you know, it ain't all about me. God is good. But if I'm up here ministering, you think I look healthy, you should have seen me 2 hours ago. This is the goodness of God. Amen. So watch this in verse 8. He says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Underline that. Even in thy mouth. Now underline this next one. And in thy heart. Did you see it? I need you to know that this stuff I'm teaching and preaching is not me. I'm showing you what God's word says. You know, there's one thing that will cause you to just cancel out God's word. And Jesus is the one that teaches us this. He said it in Mark 7:13. He said, your tradition has caused my word to have no effect. Because we tend to put tradition over what God's word actually teaches. And we judge church by tradition. We judge preachers by tradition. We judge living by faith by tradition. We judge prayer by tradition. Oh, here we are again, Lord. You're good for nothing servants. In your name, amen. Where did you learn ever in the Bible to approach God and say, dear God, here we are. You're good for nothing servants. In your name, amen. Where did you ever read that tradition? I don't know where I got that one from, but my point is we cling to tradition, and we need to know what the word says. And tradition may have told us that as long as you went to church on Sunday, nothing else mattered. But truth tells me that what's in my heart matters 7 days a week, and what comes out of my mouth matters every minute of my life. That it's more to just going to an assembly once a week. That it's about my life being committed to God. And it's more than just putting Jesus on my hat. It's that Jesus is on my mouth, and Jesus is in my heart, and that I'm living by faith. And the reason I know I'm living by faith is because his word is in my heart and his word is on my mouth. And that is the start of everything we do, because even our actions start with our thoughts, and they are endorsed by our words. Amen. I was literally in front of my mirror at my sink getting ready to brush my teeth. And I said, Lord, if I ain't brushed my teeth this week, I may not even feel good at all. And I was like, Lord, where did this, I knew where it came from, but I'm communicating with the Lord this evening. I'm like, how did this just happen? How did I go from hurting so bad in my stomach I couldn't hardly breathe, and now I feel like it just left. And I was like, and I knew how it happened, but I'm like communing with the Lord in my mind. This is about 2 hours ago. And I just felt like the Lord said, You know what I said, and what I said is what I said, but I needed you to act on what I said. And when you got up out of that bed and made yourself get ready, you acted on faith, and I respond to your action. Hey, when it ain't so, act like it's so. That woman that was given that miracle baby boy, and man, she finally got her baby boy, and because they administered to the prophet. And then the boy out in the field with the daddy, and all of a sudden he said, Daddy, my head. And the boy fell over. And the man did what every good man does. He bring the boy to his mama. You feel me? That baby look at him. I don't know. He said something wrong with his head. Man, she ran to the prophet. It was like she still had her receipt. Like, this is still under warranty. Said, baby, you gave me broke. She went to the prophet. But on the way, when she told the man, said, get the horse, get the chair, we got to go. The daddy hollered out. He said, is all well? He said, is all well? Like, you running out, getting the horse ready in the chair, got the baby. Last time I saw his head was hurt, he fell over. Was all well? The woman hollered back and said, all is well, all is well. And she took that boy to the prophet of God who prayed over him and raised him up. Listen, sometimes you got to act like it's so until it's so. You got to talk yourself into belief. You can't let the enemy get in your head. You got to speak his word no matter what it looks like. Tell your neighbor, all is well. Woo, y'all done stirred me up, man. Look at this in verse number 8. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. God wants you to speak his word over your situation, over your family, over your future, over your faith, over your finances. Speak his word. Speak it. I don't care who tells you, you can't do that. You can do that. God told you to do that. God's so serious about it that in Psalms 50, verse 16, he asked the wicked, he said, wait a minute, what are you doing to declare my word in your mouth? This ain't for you. You haven't even believed on me. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these will fail. For what my mouth has spoken, my spirit will gather. God wants me to get in his word and find the solution to my life. Get in his word and find the solution for my family and my home and every aspect of my life. Lord, what have you said? And in a world that is filled with confusion and deception, we need clarity, and clarity is in word. You can't believe everything you see on social media or news media or in Hollywood movies. You can't let the world tell you how to think. We talked about that from Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where do I find truth? Where do I find answers? Where do I find what will work? His word. Man, it's good. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And then he's going to tell us the word of faith that we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, underline or circle that, confess part. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, with thy what? With your mouth. Do you confess Jesus as Lord? Well, no, but I do in my heart. But you've never confessed Jesus as Lord? No, but God knows my heart. Well, I'm telling you, your heart, if your heart has it, your mouth ought to hear it out of your mouth. Start off, well, in my heart. Then say something. Well, I didn't mean that, in my heart. No, your heart and your mouth, they're connected. If you consistently say something, you're revealing what's in there. Can we say stuff we shouldn't say? Absolutely. Can we say stuff that we really don't mean? Absolutely. But what you consistently say is a picture of what is constant. If something is consistently coming out, that's the constant. The word is not even in the mouth, even in the heart, the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Underline, circle that word, mouth, confess, the Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thy heart. So look at it, you got the mouth and the heart. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you've got a confession with your mouth that matches a belief in your heart, God said that'll bring you salvation. Verse 10, read it out loud. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see those words again in verse 10? Circle or underline them. Heart, for with the heart, circle that, underline that. Heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, underline, circle that. Mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here it is again. The mind and the mouth working together. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or confess and what? Think or believe. Ephesians 3:20 is saying what you believe and what you ask, what you say is the starting point of what he's able to do. That's when he does exceeding abundantly above. He moves from that point. So the thief's on the cross, two thieves and Jesus in the middle. And the one thief says, if you really who you say you are, save yourself and us. So he don't even believe Jesus. He's mocking him. And he ain't really worried about who Jesus is. He just worried about himself. If you are who you say you are, you're like, God, make problem, help us. The other thief said, man, you don't know what you're talking about. We deserve this. He said, this man has done nothing. So he believed Jesus was sinless. Then he said, Lord. He confessed Jesus as Lord. He said, Lord. Then he said this, remember me when you enter your kingdom, which means he's getting up from the dead. How are you going to tell a man dying just like you're dying, remember me? If you're dying like I'm dying, we both drawing our last breath together. Hey, man, it's been good hanging out with you. Man, it's been good hanging with you. We die. I didn't mean that with any pun. I wasn't thinking about what I just said because they were both hanging on the cross. But the point is that the man didn't think Jesus was going to die like he was going to die. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, remember me. In other words, he believed that this man wasn't going, death wasn't going to be the end. He said, Lord, confess him as Lord. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. That means you're going to live beyond this moment. Jesus looked back and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. What did the man do? Did he get baptized? Did he go join a church? What did he do? He confessed Jesus as Lord and believed that he would get up from the dead. Hey. Jesus demonstrated salvation through a man on a cross. So, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart, God would raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thief on the cross did exactly that. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. Say that out loud. With the heart, man believeth. Now say this. With the mouth, confession is made. With the mouth, confession is made. Say it again. With the mouth, confession is made. When you say something, to help you remember it. So watch this. With the heart, man believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, man believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made. I know I'm saying it fast. I'm running out of time. Yeah, 8 o'clock, y'all like to be like popcorn. So say it with me. With the heart, man believeth. Say it with me. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made. Here, you're doing good now. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made. One more time. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made. What's made? What's made? What I believe is made. What I believe when I say it. He's telling me to confess what you believe. Sometimes you can't confess what's right in front of you. You got to confess what you believe. When my mama was drawing her last breath, and I didn't know it, on April 8, 2008, in the ICU unit, about 5:30 in the morning at Willis Knighton North, when I was standing there before her that day, and I'm having a conversation with her about the Lord, and we're talking about her being in the Lord's hands, and I being in the Lord, and I being in the Lord's hands, there was a message of faith beyond that bed. How many people at a funeral could rejoice even though they had tears because they knew this is not over? I know I will see him again. I know I'll be with my loved one again. Whether that's your mom or your child or a parent or your father or your best friend, I know they were a believer. I know I'll see him again. That belief in my heart comes out of my mouth. I don't say, oh, it's over. See how the mouth lines up with the belief? It does that in unbelief as well. It does that in fear. It can do that in faith. It can do that in life. It can do that in death. It can do that with cursing, and it can do that with blessing. Get off that swing before you break your arm. Child breaks arm. Didn't I tell you you're going to break your arm? See, we boast in it. Oh, that's a good job you got there. Yeah, probably going to lose it like I lost the other one. Well, okay, you might as well resign and have your resume show resignation versus another firing because you done spoke it. So we brag about saying negative stuff. And didn't I tell you to lose that job? Didn't I tell you marriage wouldn't work? Didn't I tell you we're going to lose out? Didn't I tell you? And we just applaud and say, he sure said we're going to lose that house. He sure said it. But then a preacher tell you to speak faith and say, oh, you better watch out for them faith preachers. We've been doing the same mess except on the wrong side. I'm tired of speaking doubt, fear, brokenness, and failure. It's time to speak life and victory. Speak something that'll bring God glory. Hallelujah. Speak his word. All right, I got to wrap this up. But there's something I want you to see, and we'll be done. All right, go with me to Luke 17. Luke 17, and for time's sake, I didn't read all of Romans 10, but it went on to say in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If right now you're struggling, and you say, I want to believe, I want to live by faith, I want to get my mouth and my mind right, how do I do it? You got to get in his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to be in his word daily in your own reading and your own meditation, or get you one of them Bible apps that'll read the word to you, and you can pick the voice you want. And get his word in you. Get in a church that's teaching and preaching the word. He's all, you trying to give me a word of God. Wherever. But get under his word. You can't get faith without his word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You need his word. I need his word. Now, if right now you feel like you're in a struggle of faith and belief and getting your mind and your mouth right, I remember hearing from an individual years ago that said they were plagued with so much fear they couldn't see a puddle of water without fearing they would drown on the street. That they could see a puddle of water and think, oh my God, I'm gonna drown. And it'd be a puddle of water on a street. Fear is a real thing. There's people that seriously struggle with fear, that their mind automatically goes to the negative. It automatically goes to the worst case. He said he'd be home by three. Home by three is what he told me. Maybe it's 3:02. No, give it a minute. Call him. Okay. Where you at? Pulling into the driveway. Oh, okay. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. Fear's real. But I want to let you know that you can shift from fear to faith. That as real as your fear, because all fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. When we have fear, we act on it like it's so. I was a little boy, and my brother took me to a horror movie. My mama didn't know nothing about it. She never would have permitted that. I'm at the horror movie drinking my popcorn and ate my Dr. Pepper. You trying to figure that out. I am too, but it happened. I took a bite out of my cup. I was so scared. My little boy, I was scared out of my mind. It was all real to me. I went home, it was all real. My sister made me watch Jaws for the first time. I went to bed last night, I had a dream that Jaws was trying to get in our gate. Our gate. Out front in the driveway. I woke up thinking, oh my God, Jaws is here. I'm like, he can't be here. I'm on land. Fear's real. Fear makes you act like it's real, but it ain't real. It appears real, but it's not. Are there real fears? Yes, there are real fears, but so many times the fears we have are not even real. But yet we confess them. But yet we act out on them, but it ain't even real, but we act like it's so. What I'm trying to tell you is that we can get in this word, and faith is the reciprocal to fear. Okay, let me wrap this up. I sense y'all ready to go do something. I should never open that Chick-fil-A. Now y'all in a hurry to get out of here. Don't have that problem on Sundays, though. All right, watch this in Luke 17. And let me give you a verse for your notes, and I'm almost done, all right? Here's a verse for your notes before we read Luke 17. Here's the verse for your notes. Mark 9, 23 through 24. That's the one for your notes. And this is where Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, this is what Jesus said to a daddy about his little boy. And straightway the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What's he really saying there? He's saying, I do believe, but I'm still struggling with some unbelief. I'm so grateful we have a father in heaven we can be real with. And he didn't look at him, how dare you have unbelief? No, he went to him and he said, I believe, but help this part of me that doesn't believe. That's a good God that he didn't chastise him and say, how dare you have unbelief? He is a good father. It's okay to say, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling here, right here. I'm struggling. Help this in me. Help this. And that's where Luke 17 comes in. I'm going to be done. And I would have been done at by 8 and let y'all go to Chick-fil-A by 8. But I'm not, I couldn't because we hadn't finished. We got to finish. We're almost done. And right here, Luke 17 is the finish line. Look at verse 5. And we ought to all be able to relate. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let's read that out loud. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So they wanted an increase of faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, not the size, if you treated faith like seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, tell your neighbor I'm sick of mine. So whatever it is, you sick of. I believe the Lord had a sense of humor. He could have said any kind of tree. He could say oak tree, apple tree. He could have said any kind of tree. He said, sycamine tree. And I read that, I said, yeah, I am sycamine. So he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. Read the rest. And it should obey you. What did he just say? As ridiculous as this sounds, uprooting a tree with your words, you'll have what you say if you believe you have what you say. Now, it's not that the disciples are going to walk out of that and start finding sycamine trees. I'd have one. Uproot. No, the point is Jesus is saying there's not faith. Faith is not functional. Faith is not functional. It's not functioning until what you believe is lined up with your mouth. But they said, Lord, we want an increase of faith. We'd like more of that. He said, well, you got to treat it like you would a seed. The smallest of seed, when planted, yields great harvest. Treat your faith like seed. And that's what Mark 4:17 says, is that God's word is a seed. That means I'm not going to have faith that brings God glory if I don't plant his seed in my heart. So I get his seed planted in my heart. And there's going to be a season you might not see nothing. I need a smaller Bible or a bigger coat. See, I got this worry here. You don't see it, but I know it's in my heart. And then I'm going to speak it with my mouth because it's in my heart. I'm going to speak. That's what I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak when nobody's listening. I'm going to speak when folk challenge me. I'm going to speak his word. And you might look at me and laugh. Oh, you faith believer, oh, you religious fanatic, whatever. That's all right. You call things that be not as though they were. I'm doing it too, except I got God's word on it. And then now, in a matter of time, because what God told Habakkuk in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is that there's always going to be time before that word manifests. When that word manifests and it has fruit on the vine, it speaks for itself. So when my daddy would grow that garden out and he'd sprinkle that seed and he'd cover it back up and water it, and I'd walk out there because that was my football field when it wasn't growing season, and I'd step on that row as a little boy. My daddy, get off my greens. That's what my daddy would. I could hear it like it was yesterday. Ah, boy, get off my greens. I'm like, get off your greens. That's a pile of dirt. And he would take a stick and put it on the end of that row and stick it in the ground. And he'd take that same bag out the seed out of, and he'd put that seed bag over that stick. And that let him know what was planted there. He had a vision. Oh! When you can't see it, you got to have something to see it. When you can't see it, you need something to help you see it. And so my daddy acted like it was so. Get off my, he didn't say get off my dirt with seed. Get off my greens. Hey, look at the difference. Get off my greens. I'd like to have me some greens right now, man. Ain't nothing better than some turnip greens and hot water cornbread. Glory to God. That brings him glory when I eat collard greens and turnip greens mixed together, because that's how you take the bitterness out of the collard. Mix it with some turnip. You right about it? Amen. They said, get off my greens, boy. He's sitting there watering, getting off work in the sun and watering dirt. And I'm walking on the dirt. Get off my, I'm protecting what I got planted. You got to get that word in your heart, and you got to water it with your praise and water it with your worship and water it in your prayer life. You water it. When folks try to step on, get off that right there. Don't be confessing that over me. Don't be speaking it over me. Get off my greens. Hey, I got something I'm working on. You can't see it, but I know it's there. I'm watering something. You can't see it, but I know it's there. That fruit would never happen if I'd have left that seed in the bag. I had to get the seed out of the bag and put it in the dirt. And when I got it in the dirt where I couldn't see it in the dark, that's when the earth does what it's designed to do, and that's to take the shell off that seed so what's inside that seed begins to come to life. All you got to do to get anything to grow is put it in dirt and water it. God is saying, put this word in your heart. When nobody can see it, when it's there in you, it won't grow anything out here. It won't grow anything on the back dash of your car. It won't grow anything on a shelf. It won't grow on anything sitting on your coffee table. You got to get this seed out of this bag and get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Sow it in your heart. Say it, say it, say it. Get it in your heart and say it. And no matter what nobody says about you, when that thing starts growing, Because my daddy, we would go out there and we'd pick them greens. And when we picked the greens, I didn't step on them. Because I saw them. And mama cleaned them off the stems. Ooh. Once you see it, you can't unsee what you've seen. And I know there's somebody that's taking him at his word. And you've seen his word manifest in your life. And you might have gotten mocked when nobody could see it. But you know it was in your heart. And you kept it in your mouth. And that's the way you live. And Jesus said, if you would just treat my word like you would seed, it could be the smallest of seeds, but it'll yield the greatest of harvests once it gets in the right place. The place that God has designed his word to go is in my mind and on my mouth.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.